coming back to guests and the kids. And then it was applied. The question was asked, what about your wife? So I want to take an idea about your wife and then bring it over to the kids. You guys want the long version or the short version? Long version? Short version? Long version or short version?
One short
version. Of what? What's the issue?
The balance between guests, kids, and your wife. You want the short version or long version?
Let's start with the short version.
Okay, then you won't get the long version. Okay, so the short version is in a nutshell.
You can always expand on that.
No, I can't. No, no, no. I'll give you it all in a nutshell. Okay. In a nutshell, Rav Reuven Feinstein once said, Avraham Avinu isn't taking in three Arabs, right? And Avraham Avinu is taking in three Arab guests, Parshas Vayera, and he needs to prepare the meat for them. He wants the best meat, so he sends his son Yishmael. So Avraham was 3 days after circumcision. So was Yishmael. He had many people he could have asked. He had all the servants he could have asked to go and prepare the meat. He didn't. He asked Yishmael. So Reuven Feinstein said, yeah, that's chinuch. Chinuch for achnasas orcha means the kids know this is a part of who I am. I take in guests. And so I sweat for it. They sweat for it. I cherish it. They cherish it. And when a kid sweats with you and he sees this is a real part of being a part of this family, so then afterwards this becomes a part of who he is. And that's why the Yishmaelim, till today, the Arabs are known for their hospitality, because this became a part of him, because he sweat with it like Avraham Avinu. Avraham didn't give him the cop out. No, you stay in bed. I'll get the servants to do it. He didn't say that. He said, Yishmael, vela bakar. He tells Yishmael, go bring me a right piece of animal, a right piece of meat that I'll slaughter. It'll be good. So there is an aspect where it's important as part of the chinuch of the kids, and they should know that they're a partner in the achnas sorchem. I sometimes tell the kids before guests come, I need your help to make this guest feel at home. I want you guys to help me make this guest be happy that they're by us. So then you start developing it as a part of our mitzvah, as a family. We are going to have this guest, and it's important that they help. Could you make the bed? Can you wait outside? I'll very often send the kids to wait outside here in the yeshuv. Guests don't always know. Do you mind waiting at the bus stop? It's important that they have real roles where they're a part of it. And sometimes those roles involve a certain amount of compromise. They'll give up their bed for the guest or stuff like that. So the same is with your wife. If she's happy having guests, so then there's an element where you're both going to compromise. You're going to lose some of that intimacy you might have had at a Shabbos table so that you can have this mitzvah of having guests, which is very important. So when you ask, does the wife come first, like the kids come first? Well, very often the wife is your partner in the mitzvah, and she is more comfortable than the kids, compromising on her comfort level for the guest. We've had times where we were a young couple. So as a young couple, you can't make too much extras. I mean, you're two people. So how many extras can you make if you don't think you're having guests? And then suddenly a person calls and says, I got no place to go. Or someone comes to you in shul and they got no place to go. Now, if they're coming to your house, you don't have extras because you can't make extras. You know, you're a young couple, you're two people. So you make for three people, you've already made another 50% on your Shabbos. So you don't make it. And then you end up with a guest. So that means one of you is going to eat less, or both of you are going to eat less, however it can be divided, right? So if there's an understanding between you, of course I want you to have guests. And anytime you see someone that needs a place, bring them and we'll manage. It doesn't matter. So that's great. Sometimes a woman says, I'm not comfortable with guests. I'm an introvert. It's not for me. You got to figure out how to work that. It could be that you can only bring guests that she's comfortable with, or you got to work on other mitzvahs. That's not necessarily going to be the mitzvah you can do in your house. You know, she has to feel comfortable at home. It says in halacha, a woman can tell her husband, I can't live with your parents over here all the time. Can't handle that. And she's entitled to say that. She's not entitled to curse them in front of his face. Behind his back is a different story. But she's entitled to say, I can't handle them. I'm telling you, I was serious when I said that. That's halacha.
I know.
Yeah.
I dealt with that.
Yeah. So back to the guests and the kids, or the guests and the wife. If she's comfortable with it, she's allowed to have that. You know, she can say, I want to. That's part of my mitzvah. And with regards to the kids, you have to factor how much of it are they happy with and how much is too much for them. And your general approach is your kids have to be your focus. Sometimes there's a guest that needs more attention. We had a guest over in a wheelchair. Obviously, I invested a lot of time in the guest that the kids lost by that, so to speak. But that's part of their chinuch. They have to learn that, yeah, when you have a guest over like that, so that's your mitzvah. I remember till today, Maybe it was 5 times. I don't think it even hit 10 times. But there were a number of times where we had a guest who was blind in my parents' house. That's a very interesting thing to have a guest who's blind. I remember as a kid, he was coming to the sink and he asked me where the towel was. And I said, now we dry our hands with the red towel. And then I remember, see, it stays by me that I, such a, how could I say that then? You know, and I apologized to him. And he said, no, I'm used to it. It happens all the time. I remember so many parts of those Shabbatot. They left such an impact on me that we had a guest who was blind and it taught me what, you know, he showed me what Braille was and I'd walk with him to shul and I'd walk back. You know, he's holding my hand and we're walking to shul. Taught me a lot. Till today, when I see a blind person that needs to cross the street, I'm not scared of holding their hand and crossing them because I know he taught me how you guide a person that can't see. He told me when I'm going to go off the sidewalk, tell me I'm coming off the sidewalk. If you don't think about that, you don't know. You give the guy a hand, you start walking, they fly off the sidewalk, right? He would tell me when we're about to go up on a sidewalk. I didn't think of that beforehand. You know, little things which you learn them, you can handle them. And I could tell them in advance. And in a second, we're going to hit the edge of the sidewalk. I don't have to wait till the last step. Okay, little things. So I compromised, it would seem. No, I gained a lot from it. Sometimes there are compromises where the kids get the most out of it. The fact that they have to compromise and they'll never forget a Shabbos like that. So the fact that kids have a certain element of compromise isn't necessarily bad, provided that they have enough Shabbatot where the general feeling is my parents love me and I have a great time on Shabbos. You've built that bank of good feeling, so then you've deposited enough in that, you can take out from that. Then when necessary, you can tell the kids, look, this Shabbos is not going to be such a fun Shabbos because we're going to do A or B or C, and you'll be surprised how they're with you on it. We will do it. That's also a key element. Let's see how we can make the guest feel comfortable. And that's, if done positively, then kids are very happy to be partners. And again, in many instances, the wife is even more happy to be a partner with it. And when she's a partner, so then the fact that you'll have less time to talk to her, okay. I remember one Friday night, there was a chassan who was getting married that Sunday, and he broke down. Devastated. He was supposed to get married that Sunday. And he did get married that Sunday. But he had last-minute jitters. And I remember I told him, give me a minute. I was walking him out when he suddenly broke down. It was the end of the meal. And my wife and I were dead tired. We wanted to get to sleep. It was a winter night. I knew if I start talking to him, instead of getting an early night, that's it. My night's gone. I told him, give me a minute. I left him out in the hall. I walked in and closed the door. And I took my wife to a part of the house where he wouldn't overhear the conversation. I said, look, here's what's going on. What do you think I should do? She said, what's the question? I said, I don't know. We were going to go to sleep early. If I talk to him, I'm not getting to bed till past midnight. This is going to take many hours. And she said, what's the question? I said, okay, you're with it. Fine. You know, and that's another key point. When you don't force your wife, when you ask her, then she'll agree. Now imagine it would have played itself out another way. Imagine I would have taken him in, sat him down in the living room, spoken to him for 6 hours, and she's 6 hours in the bedroom wondering what's going on out there, and eventually she falls asleep, and then the next morning she asks me, what happened, right? That's annoying. If it happens to anyone, it's annoying. The difference between being a partner in a mitzvah and having a mitzvah shoved down our throat is a mitzvah night and day. It's a mitzvah night and day. I'm saying, so that's part of the key, you know. If you call and you say, hey, I want to stay another hour at cheer, does it bother you? Is it okay with you? Sure, stay. I'm happy you're learning. But if you suddenly show up an hour after you agreed, but you never discussed it, and so then you shove that down my throat, and that never feels good. I'm saying, so in the realm of foregoing things for the sake of guests, a lot of it has to be communication. Do we agree? Is that good for us? If we agree, then we can charge forward on many fronts. How many times do people stay up with a guest late Friday night, and they're up till 2, and they're drinking beers, and they're schmoozing, and it's not really that important, and they forewent their family for what? So then the wife's going to say, why'd you do that? We had our one night, we could have been together. Well, why'd you do that? And she's right. So then the proper response is, I made a mistake. I got carried away. I shouldn't have done that. You're right. I'm going to try to be smarter next time. But sometimes it's important. No, the guy, you know, someone came to us one night, and I asked him, how are you? And he says, I'm okay. I said, what do you mean? He says, but life's not okay. I said, what do you mean? He says, I divorced my wife this morning. Oh, shucks. You know, I wasn't planning on having a 2-hour conversation with you right now, but I don't see a way out, right? I said, Give me a minute, right?
Can I pour you a splash?
Right? Okay, I'm telling you a true story. Okay, you know, fine, what am I supposed to say? Okay, but there's nothing wrong with saying, give me a minute. And you go back and you say, honey, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do, but this is what you just told me. So then she says, of course, talk to him. What can we do? Okay. And sometimes she'll say, don't. And then sometimes the answer is, I'm sorry, I'd love to talk to you. And I, you know, I really feel terrible. There are things now which don't allow me. Let's talk tomorrow. We really have to talk. I feel bad. I wish we could talk right now. Let's talk tomorrow. Okay. So people will say, aren't I obligated to the mitzvah of talking to him? And shouldn't my wife forego that? Yeah, but if you destroy your house, you won't be able to keep too many mitzvahs. So you're going to have a very hard time doing the chinuch of your kids and doing everything else. And the hefset over here. And who said you lost something if you tell him, look, I'd love to talk to you. I really can't explain, but there are things I'm obligated to right now. Let's talk tomorrow. Don't postpone them indefinitely. Make it up for tomorrow. Make it up at a time where it'll be at the expense of your work or other things and not at her expense. It's not the end of the world. And it's enough that she sees once or twice that you weren't willing to forgo her needs for someone else's needs. And then that gives her strength other times to go with you on it. The problem is that when she says that, we think, oh, she doesn't care for the mitzvah, and she doesn't care for other people, and then that causes explosions that don't stop. But if we say, look, that's what she needs now, so okay, let me find a way to make him happy, and so I didn't do the mitzvah right now, but that doesn't mean I won't do the mitzvah in an hour, or in a day, or next week. I'm saying that I think in all these things we have to remember our first priority is the house. Without that, we can't do too much. You can't do achnas sorchem if you don't have a wife and a house. I'm saying even in the realm of this mitzvah, even without discussing our first obligation to the house, even in the realm of the mitzvah, you want to do it long term, you have to do it in a way that's good for the house. And very often, if you talk about it, so then you come to an agreement of what you're willing to forego. I'll tell you a story offline. Sorry, guys, there's a value for being here.